implications of those ideas. And although there were one or two diagrams, block diagrams of complete machines, they were pretty well incomprehensible. One couldn't quite follow them out in any detail. But it was quite clear how you would design the various parts of a computer. The various parts that were discussed at some considerable length. And in fact, it was in Philadelphia immediately after the course was over, I stayed on for a week or two, that I began to sketch out the ideas.
Jim Wilkinson, National Physical Lab. I too would like to comment on the colloquia that Maurice Wilks held at Cambridge in the early days. They still remain for me perhaps the highlight of life in the computer science field. And a nice thing about them was in those days, most of us talked about most of the things that were going on. Sometimes the talks would be on hardware, sometimes on what would now be called software, or what we usually referred to as programming. Sometimes the lectures were on a topic in mathematical physics, perhaps, with the object of discussing how the problem might be solved on the computer. It was a great pity that as the computer field grew, that series gradually died out. Its place was taken by other meetings all over the place, but they never fulfilled the same function as the early meetings at Cambridge. I think they were outstanding.
John Mockley. What I have to remark is a very general remark. I don't know quite how to put it, really, but it seems as if we are getting further and further into the situation where nobody knows just exactly how to define what to talk about and where they draw the lines and so on. I think Maurice is having that problem. We're all having that problem. I guess we're in a worse position than trying to decipher a Rosetta Stone. In the paper which Eckert sent here for me to read at a later part in this program, he made a point a little more than I had thought of making in various other times, the point that not only was the ENIAC capable of executing a subroutine, whereas the original Mark I was not, but that it was capable of executing nested subroutines. And there'll be plenty of people here, I guess, including Los Alamos mathematicians and so on, who can attest to the fact that all of these possibilities and capabilities existed right there. So, from my point of view, the use of subroutines in problems was something which was just so natural, and all you wanted to do was to get as many people as possible acquainted with the idea. And that, of course, was a great virtue of a first book, for instance, that does acquaint as many people as you can possibly get to read the book. As to the virtue of organizing problems which you're now going to code in a way in which you minimize the amount of redundancy of labor, you might say, that you can use the same coding over and over and over again, and that you can nest such pieces of coding and so forth, was, as I say, one of those ideas which, the nearest thing I can think of sometimes to illustrate this is a very old and well-known thing about the man who was told that prose was a very interesting form of speech and then learned that he had been speaking prose all the time. And he'd never do that. So it is with the subroutines, and so it is with lots of ways of programming machines, partly stored, a little more stored, or whatever. Why, they are gradations, and we're going to have quite a time, I guess, figuring out how it went with the ideas of Babbage on up through what happened on the ENIAC and what happened on all the other machines. There is, I suppose, a way of representing all this as a constant gradation and progression. And the same thing applies, incidentally, to, in my mind, to the idea of flowcharts. I don't know whether flowcharts are good or bad. I don't know whether go-to statements are good or bad, and a lot of other things that other people think are very important measures of how good your programming is and things of that sort. Important thing is to be logical. Thank you.
That interests me, because that John should say that it was quite obvious to him that subroutines were the thing, because he certainly implanted that idea in my mind.
Trapardo from Stanford. Is there any, or could you summarize some differences between the way you thought of programming in those days and the way, for example, people here in the States thought about it? Is there any, apart from this emphasis on subroutines, anything else you could comment about?
Well, I don't know. This may come out. I can tell you what we did. And other people will tell you what they did. Not everyone thought subroutines were a good idea, by any means. There were people who thought a nice big flowchart and jumping all around was a better idea. Of course, there were overheads. You see, the wheeler jump took two instructions. You know? And in the small memories of those days, it was rather a lot. I think not everybody put the same emphasis as we did on what it would now be called programming methodology, though a lot of people did.
Svoboda, UCLA. You see, 1947, I was at Princeton, and I got some sketches written personally for Neumann, and maybe I was wrong, but I understood that he meant the subroutines already in his sketches. So that, you see, when I came to Prague, one of the papers written by one of my students, Pokorny, in 1951, and which I have here with me, and unfortunately in Czech, described subroutines, but under influence of my visit in 1947 in, yeah. So that, you see, I am a little bit at loss at date which we should put at the subroutine as such.
Well, it's as John Morkley says, it's an obvious enough idea. Von Neumann wasn't interested in programming methodology, really. His interest, the early days, obviously, before I came on the scene, he was clearly interested in the, as a mathematician would understand, the principles of computer design. And then he was very interested in what sort of problems you could do. I mean, how much storage capacity you needed for hydrodynamical calculations and that sort of thing at the mathematical level. But I don't think he was ever interested in programming methodology. And I remember explaining to him myself in 1950, the Wheeler jump. And the idea of that way of entering a closed subroutine, he was quite tickled by the idea. But I don't think he was interested in programming methodology, though I have no doubt he would use the term subroutine as everyone did in those days.
He didn't use that word, but his sketches,
yes,
are showing,
well, yes,
the alpha is better in those lines connecting, and then you find a loop. Of course, the equivalent,
yes,
of a subroutine.
Knuth from Stanford. I just wanted to mention, I recently reread von Neumann's discussion of programming, and the final example in the series of three things is about subroutines and about how to write a loading routine which would relocate subroutines from a library. The The way he did it, however, was much less efficient than Wheeler's jump, and he specifically said you wouldn't want to use a subroutine unless it was quite a large one because of this overhead. And for example, you see Wheeler's method was very brilliant. It said load the accumulator with this instruction itself, which just happens to have the address of itself in it. That's the pun involved. But von Neumann would take a series of instructions which would load a constant saying where to go after the subroutine and store this into a fixed location inside the subroutine itself without using the registers for the communication. So it was a much less efficient way, but the method was certainly discussed there, but not in such a powerful way. And the writing about programming strikes me as being very methodological, but not in what we would now agree with as a desirable methodology. But it was a form of saying here, do the program this way, and then you do this, and then you do your static coding of boxes with Roman numerals and so on. It was just a different kind of methodology than is now popular, I think.
That report had three names on it, I think.
Planning and coding of problems for something or other. No, Burke's Goldstein. Burke's was actually a contributor, though, to the. I mean, they credited him with some ideas, but he wasn't mentioned as an author in that particular